Okay, folks, the recording has started. Everybody's been muted. Okay, sorry about that. Got to do that for a nice quiet. We already have a bunch of people on today, too, so this is great. And before I interview, talk about our guest, I would like to just give out a couple points today. Number one, look, folks, it's April 8th. This is the beginning, the second week of the second quarter. You're starting the second week of the second quarter. Okay, so my point is whatever you need to turn it up on, remember, you still have just about three quarters of the year ahead of you. Make sure you're doing it. Okay, some of you had some great first quarters, and the market is heating up. Okay, so that's good and bad. It means it's good because, you know, the market's heating up. It's bad because if you have bad habits, you can hide them for a quarter or two. You don't want to do that. You still want to maximize the experience of even a busy market by doing what you're supposed to be doing. Okay, let's hop right into it. Today we have a wonderful interview. I'm going to say he's a brand new agent, but he's not brand new to the real estate business. Scott Ahrens from our Palm Springs office in lovely California. Scott, if you could hit *6 on your phone, then we'll all be able to hear you. Let me know when you've done that, please.
Hi, Rick. It's Scott.
Hey, there you are. All right, Scott. So with further ado, my man, why don't you just tell them, first up, somewhere in your intro, give them your cell phone number, too, so it's on the recording forever so they can call you and give you referrals in wonderful Palm Springs. Tell them a little about yourself, your background, how long you've been in the business, and then even go through where you are as far as business so far since you've been doing this.
Okay. So my background, well, I've had several careers in my life, so I have a pretty varied background. But the last 10, I spent flipping houses, coincidentally enough, in two of the markets where we have offices, Las Vegas and the greater Palm Springs area. I started as a trustee sales flipper. I was buying properties, foreclosures at auction, starting in 2010, really. And in 2009, I bought a couple of REOs. I was moderately successful with those because I didn't really understand the rehab process as well as I ought to have. But I learned a lot, so I didn't lose money. And I think the profits that I forewent were maybe tuition, because then I went on to get to the trustee sales auction, and there I was doing really high velocity flips. So like from the day I handed over the cash at the auction to the day I collected the cash, selling it at the end of an escrow on a traditional sale, my average was 62 days. So I really learned like discipline about how much money to spend and how quickly to go and pricing it right, actually, I would say. But then in
awesome.
A year and a half ago, I decided that I would like to get into selling because my favorite part about the business is really the deal. I like that more. I was never really a designer flipper. I was more of a financial flipper. It was all numbers. I would buy any kind of house as long as I was getting it 30% below market at the auction and could rehab it easily. So I liked the deal a lot, and I decided to get my license last summer. It took us a few months to get that done, and started with Berkshire Hathaway in November. And actually, I'm going to take you up on your offer to give my phone number too. I forgot to do that. That is 760-880-1492, and I absolutely always have time for anybody's referral, so I would love to get them.
Yes, and it sounds like because of your background when you got into real estate, it sounds like understanding time frames, being extremely disciplined, and being scheduled out was something you became good at really quick, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And also, I was kind of known for being a cherry picker at the auction. There were some guys who were buying like 15 houses a day. I was buying more like one house every 2 weeks. So I was really, I was able to quickly make identify what was great about a property, why it was undervalued, and pull the trigger quickly. And I think that, I didn't know that was going to be helpful in selling, but it's actually been incredibly helpful in converting somebody who's just considering buying a property to actually helping them to pull the trigger so they can see the virtues of the opportunity.
And it sounds like it also made you become really comfortable, like educated in the market that you're currently selling as well.
I think that's true. I know as as an auction flipper, you know, like, I mean, you could tell me a zip code and I would know like what the average price was, days on market. You know, I knew a lot of, or even streets in Palm Springs because it's a smaller market. So that actually is like, I think it's valuable real knowledge, but it also is like a big confidence builder with potential clients that they feel like I'm really familiar with the area and they can kind of relinquish some of their thought process to me and trust that I'm going to give them good advice.
Yeah, that's great. And it's also, and what you just mentioned, I mean, anybody that has access to MLS can do. I mean, you know, just learn your area, be very comfortable with prices and so forth. So you're very educated when you go into people's homes to counsel them on what you should go on the market for. So good stuff.
Totally. I totally agree.
All right, cool. All right, so now you're in the real estate business. You've been in how long now?
I started on November, either October 31st or November 1st. Say November 1.
November 1. Okay, so give them a, like a little, like where are you at as far as deals and listings and so forth, please.
Okay, so, well, I got my first client, my first active buyer who actually closed a deal in, let's see, it was in November. It was early November.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been, it was right around Gay Pride in Palm Springs. So maybe like the second week. And it was someone from Facebook who I did not know. It was kind of amazing. It really felt like it just fell into my lap and didn't really know what I was doing exactly as far as take, I mean, because I was always just an investor buyer, and that's a completely different process than someone who's looking to buy a home for personal use. And then even maybe more specific is somebody who's looking to buy a home, a second home. So it's like there aren't even practical considerations like where's the school, you know, is it big enough for my family? That sort of stuff doesn't come into play as much. It's like it's almost more like, instead of buying an SUV or a family car, it's like buying a sports car or a toy or something, buying here in Palm Springs.
Right.
So you really have to vibe them out and spend some time. I like to take them out to neighborhoods first and get a vibe for that and get them talking and try to understand what they want. But at that stage, I really didn't know what I was doing, but I had an awesome client and I did well by him. He really loved, actually the first house I showed him was the one he ended up buying. So that made me feel good as well. And we closed that deal in December.
Tell him a little about, you know, cause we were talking about it on one of our coaching calls. Tell him a little about, he wanted to see 14, but you did your homework ahead of time. And on the fourth home, he said, you know, tell them about that. I think that's very, because especially the people that are just starting to work with buyers or even seasoned people, I think this little process that you took them through is very educational.
Okay. Actually, the first thing I think I would say to new people when you're talking to a buyer is one of the mistakes I was making is in the very first meeting, I think I talked too much about myself because I was trying to prove to him that I was qualified. They actually already trust you if they're with you. So I would say stop doing that. Instead, ask them questions, listen to them, prove your value as a listener, not a talker. And it's an insecurity I had in the beginning. And that's still sometimes I want to share a story about myself. And I can always tell people care about that less. They're really interested in what they care about and in being understood. So that's the first
Amen,
thing I
brother.
Say. So, yeah. So secondly, listen and get an idea for what they like, not always even what they're saying, because sometimes people also fall into this pattern of liking every house for different reasons, and you kind of feel like, well, what do you not like? And you have to actually say, like, I like the question, can you see yourself living here? And that usually separates people out from, you know, are they just complimenting the house, but they could never see themselves there, or do they actually maybe possibly at some point want to make an offer on it? And so listen, get an idea. Then when I do the house tour, I try to balance being cooperative as far as letting them see everything they want to see, but also making it useful so that we see the houses I think they're going to buy first before they get exhausted, because you are going to have house exhaustion for sure when you're taking a buyer out. So I try to front load them and in my tour. So like, I think he had like 14 houses on the list. I think you're exactly right. And the first house we saw was the one he liked. I chose the sequence for a reason. I thought he would like that one the best. And by about midway through the tour, he said, I think I'm done. We don't need to see anything else. And then we went back for a night visit for the first house, and he made an offer. So, yeah, I think that's really important to pre-select, focus them. But readjust, you know, I mean, yesterday I was out with a buyer and, they had about 12 houses in their list of things they wanted to see. Six of them were in one neighborhood and all of the same style. So I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. I know what they like already. The house that they thought they wanted was modern and new construction. The house that we're going to offer on is Mediterranean, 15 years old in a completely different neighborhood. You know, and it wasn't even on their list. I just listened to what they were saying, and I said, you know, let's stop with the tour. Let me just show you something else. I have access to it and see if you like it. And I was kind of doubtful that they would, but it turns out then the next they wanted to see it again and were writing on it. So, you know, you just get in, have an idea, but course correct based on listening.
I think your first guy, first off, everything you're saying is absolutely valuable. And the part about, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit in working with them to figure out exactly what they want because they don't always tell you. You know, they say,
no.
let's see this, but they end up buying something else. But the first guy is the great example because I think he even said to you, every house is getting less. And you said to him, well, that's because I set them up like that intentionally. The ones, based on what you told me, I set up the ones that I thought you would like best first. And didn't you actually say that to him at some point?
I did. And I think that like letting them know that you're listening and like the trust just will keep increasing as long as you act in a trustworthy fashion, which is to say, listen to them and build that into your process.
Awesome. Awesome. Good. Okay. So that was the first one and you've done a few since then, right?
Yes, I have done a few. I mean, I've had actually, well, I'll tell you sort of the progress has been, sort of doing one at a time, then two at a time, and then now I have I'm not sure. I mean, should I jump into 64 at the Rib, or do you want to talk about more like working with buyers and open houses?
No. I think you should tell them, okay, give them a little so you worked with a few buyers, and then, boom, you got this opportunity. So tell them about that opportunity. No, I think it's great. Go right ahead and tell them all about that.
So for the most part in the beginning, I'll give a little bit about working with buyers only. In the beginning, what I was really comfortable with was open houses. And again, I think it's important that I have a lot of experience in real estate. It's not really important that I telegraph that to people. It comes out anyway, you know, if they start asking me about real estate. But with open houses, my main piece of advice would be make a connection with the person. Treat it almost like somewhere between a party and a business networking event that you really care about making connections at, except I wouldn't lead with talking about real estate. Just make a personal connection with people. They know that you're there to sell a house or to sell they think you're there to sell that house. And I quickly try to make it clear that I'm actually here to help you with anything related to real estate. And if you don't want to talk about anything related to real estate, I'll shoot the breeze with you, but I'm actually working. So I'm going to move on to someone who does want to let me help them with something related to real estate.
You don't have to pound.
There's no hard sell at all, but you are extroverted and social. And I mean, that comes easily to me. So that's the easiest way to make a connection. And inevitably, if they're going to be your customer, they're going to bring up real estate first. They know why you're there. So that worked really well for me, and I started getting a bunch of buyers. I actually had some weird experiences. I had a couple of escrows that broke. Actually, my just two of my first four. So that was kind of daunting, and I learned a lot from that. One was because of the other side. One was because of my client, actually. So. It was very, very interesting, and if you have a good broker or manager of your office, it's a great time to get a lot of advice and build a stronger relationship there. I think that's really important to get guidance. Selling is totally different from flipping, and I had to learn a lot about selling and working with others. But then, on the listing side, I really didn't have any activity. Actually, it's not even that I actually had no activity. I was busy with buyers. And I felt badly that I wasn't marketing actually for listings. And that was like my nagging doubt about myself. I really wasn't building a pipeline my pipeline was about, you know, the next 30 days, it seemed like always, and catching a buyer at an open house. And it just felt like a constant hustle, which it is. And I think it always will be, but I wanted to have listings. And then I heard about an opportunity for a new development where they were potentially unhappy with their outside salesperson who had all the listings. So I put out a feeler, had a meeting, and within just a couple of weeks, they decided to let go their old listing agent and hire me to have the listings for the neighborhood. So it's a 64-unit development of very high-design, modern homes at an affordable price in Palm Springs. So that was my first listing was actually new construction, which is totally different. And it wasn't just one listing. It was, I think that we had a combination of sold or already in escrow from the other guy, 9. Now we've sold 20, we're in escrow on another 13, I guess, because we have 22 that have gone into escrow. So out of the first 40 that have been built. So all of that has happened in the last month. So I've had going from doing sort of like one or two deals a month to suddenly doing, you know, I don't even know what that number is. It's really intense. And the paperwork, like, it doesn't start with an RPA like it does in a regular resale. The paperwork trail is totally by the builder. So that's been intense and fun. And then meanwhile, I've tried to maintain my focus on my resale business, and I've had a lot of traction in a certain price point range and with sort of nicer homes in Palm Springs, which I feel like I understand from my prior history. And so I've got two escrows going right now in that category, and actually I'm hoping to write two more offers today from this past weekend. So it's been kind of a balancing act of them both, but so far so good.
Yeah, and you got that new development because, and I would say because of your ability to really do well at an open house. Like you do an extremely great job at an open house, which I want you to describe to them. But would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, doing tracked sales is a lot like an open house.
Right.
You get a constant flow of people. Some of them have agents, some of them don't. I work with all of them. Actually, the guy who had the listings before me was less interested in doing deals with people who had agents. He wanted to have, you know, get sort of
double
free entity. Yeah, double end it. And so he had a little bit of if you look at the numbers, you can see actually from the deals that he did and the high percentage of them being double ended. I've had a strategy of, I would just like to sell out the development as quickly as possible. I think, and because the developer will build another one. So I try to play well with others. And in general, if I'm ever in doubt, I try to remind myself that my most important clients are other agents. You know, actual clients, well, first of all, they come and go. Second of all, they're not in the market every day, always. You know, they're in for a little while, and then I guess on average, they're not back in for 7 years. But other agents are your colleagues and really, in some ways, your clients all the time and the ones who are doing the work for you. So I try to have great relationships there as well. But yeah, being able to sort of convert people quickly and that's not just converting people to a yes, but converting them to a no if they're not going to buy is really important in tracked sales and also open houses. I think that's the most important thing.
That's awesome. So you and I would say, you know, obviously your experience prior to real estate has been helpful, but really I would say in the short amount of time, I love what you say in the beginning was 6 months ago. So that's awesome. I love when you, right. And I love the fact
that I'm still in the beginning.
you took that listing and then you sent me your first deposit check and with a big smile on your face. I was like, that is so awesome. But I would say your presentation skills, I mean, you had to go in to this builder who's and I love it because this is what I used to do in my market. In some of the markets, you can't, you know, we don't have smaller builders. They're just big ones. But in your market, you know, where you have a smaller builder, like even though that's a tremendous site to list, it really was your presentation skills and your ability to present and why they should list with you, which is very much like interviewing for buyers to work with you at an open house, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, they weren't choosing me based on experience because obviously I had none. like literally none, you know, with listings. But it was right. It was exactly that ability to present, to work with buyers, to work with sellers, and actually to work with the developer in a cooperative manner. You know, that was one of his, without getting into too much details about the prior person, but that was one of his issues, was he wanted to feel heard and wanted to feel like it was a collaborative effort toward the same goal. And I think I my intent was to bring that to the mix.
Yeah, and it's so awesome that you, I love what you say, play well with others, because your client, I mean, in this subdivision, your job is to sell that subdivision for the seller as fast as possible for as much money with the fewest problems, and then you have an on-site person who is trying to double end and turn off. It's such a great point about why there are people that are unsuccessful in real. If you go with the me agenda, you're never going to do as well in this business as you could, because your me is not, like you said, it's your client, it's the other agents, and if you stay service oriented and play well like that, you will absolutely eat it up in this business.
Exactly. That's been my experience.
Okay, good. All right. So in order, that's the full picture, and that is tremendously awesome. But what I'd like to do in the 8 minutes we have left here is take them a little through about how you did get immediate access from your open houses. I think that would be tremendously helpful for them.
Well, okay, so I mean, the first thing that's coming to mind, and it's something that people, like I was nervous about when I started, and I still hear people say they don't do it, but I think it's absolutely crucial, is getting people to sign in when they come in the door. And it sounds kind of simplistic, but maybe that's not the most important thing, or you're going to get a lot. Like some people say, well, people just write, you know, Mickey@Pluto.com or, you know, BS email addresses, you know what I mean? Or whatever, stupid phone numbers. But first of all, if they don't sign in and you have an idea for them later, that idea has zero value. If you get, you know, 50 useless phone numbers, but one of them is the one attached to that person for whom you had that idea later, all 50 of those numbers have value. You know what I mean? Like you had to go through the effort of getting all of them to get that, to have that one number later. And I have ideas all the time. And I've gotten buyer clients from remembering something that they told me at the open house, having a conversation with someone else later, and putting the two of them together. And that's our job, right? Bringing buyers and sellers together.
Yeah.
And maybe not for a transaction, but for a relationship. And I know, Rick, you like this story. I love it too. So I have a couple of buyers right now who are in escrow on a purchase. They're my buyers. And I met them at an open house maybe two months ago. Not at the house that they made an offer on, not even similar, but they, I met them there and they told me they were looking for a house. They were looking at a house and it was the top of their list on another street in another neighborhood. And they told me they had an agent and they were happy. And I said, that's fine, but I'm curious, what street, what house? And they told me, and I knew that house really well and I knew it was overpriced. And so we talked about it a little bit and we connected and then they went on their way. Then about half an hour later, another person came into my open house. They were interested in the house in question, the one I was at. And I asked them where they live currently, and they said the street, and it was the same street two doors down from the house that those other guys were talking about. So I said, you're going to sell that house to buy this? Yes. Okay, well, can I call you in a little bit? I think I have someone who might like to see it. So I called the first guys. Their schedule was such that I couldn't be there when all the parties got together because I had another open house. At that stage, I was doing four open houses on a weekend, two addresses each day. And so I was busy that afternoon, but I put together the whole thing. They all met. There was no deal there, but the buyers were so impressed with the extra effort I gave them that they said, they talked about it. And 2 days later, they called and said, you're our agent now. And flashing forward, we're in escrow.
Perfect.
Right now we'll close at the end of the month. So that's great. And then actually the other guys, I just ran into them actually yesterday. And I noticed a week ago they put their house on the market with another agent and sold it in a day. And here's an important story here. Of course, for a second, I was a little bummed that it wasn't me. But the thing to remember about Palm Springs is there's a ton of agents. I think per capita, I wouldn't be surprised if we have one of the highest per capita ratios of agents to the general population.
I would agree.
Yeah. So you can't get hurt if somebody chooses somebody else. Everybody has five close friends who are agents. But I want to get all the business. So when I saw that they did that, I was a little crestfallen, but whatever. And I wrote something nice to them on Facebook congratulating them. They came into my open house yesterday. And they first thing they said was, hey, we just wanted to tell you this guy who we listed with, he's done three transactions with us in the past. He's a really close friend. And I said, don't worry about it. That's totally fine. It was nice to hear that. Really, it's I totally understand. And then they said, we still are thinking about buying this other house. We're going to call you. And so, I would love to be of service to them as their buyer's agent.
Right.
I still think it's totally possible. I know I think I hustle harder than any other agent I know of in Palm Springs. So, the outlook is good. But even if they don't use me, maybe they'll refer me to somebody else. So it's all about relationship. And I forget why I got onto this, but it's about open house strategy. But just like get their numbers when they come in the door.
Right.
So my lead is when you walk in the door, the first thing I say to you before I go to have a conversation is, would you mind signing in? And I really don't consider no an option because I'm here to work. And if you don't want to share that with me, I'm not here to just, you know what I mean? Like, it's a little rude.
No, I agree.
And I'll say, yeah. And if they, and sometimes occasionally somebody just puts their name and nothing else. And I just view that as a self-select out. Like they've already told me no. So fine, we're at a no. And I won't contact them. That's no problem. But I'll tell you, I've never had anybody say they refuse outright. And most people put in the complete information and they want to be contacted if we connect. If we don't connect, that, that's on me. So
yeah,
that would be my main advice.
It goes back to everything you say. They walk in, you get into conversation, you find out what's going on. When you act like the way you're acting right now, very assumptive, very service oriented. I need to know everything so I can help you. That comes across. If you're acting like it's weird to get their name and phone number, and I know agents that can't help it because, their confidence level needs to just be cranked up a notch, that's when you have a hard time getting information from people. But
if you're acting like it's weird, then it is weird.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, in success series, I call it don't make it weird. If you make it weird in your presentation as to signing in, then they don't sign in. If you make it normal, natural, this is what we do all day, then they sign in. So that's the key
right there.
And everything else you said, you listen, you take great information, you ask them all the questions that you need. It's perfect. All right, cool.
The other thing I do with my sign-in sheet is I do one name per page, which is a little different than most people. But I use that page. When I take the clipboard back, I take notes on everything they told me. So, they tell you a lot. They tell you where they live. They might say something about their career. They might say something about their family. They might say a house they like. I jot it all down on that page. Then I give a fresh page to the next person. I do that for two reasons. One is I use that as the beginning of my notebook of notes on each client. And it's really helpful to remember things about what they like and what they care about. But also people sometimes don't like signing in on the same page where other people's information is because they don't want the next person to read their information. So it's a private sign-in page for each person.
I think that's great. Yeah, I like that too. I like even using those little Axia. Axia has those little clipboards, but I like those because then everybody has their own little clipboard they can carry and walk around in the house. Perfect.
I never thought about having multiple clipboards. I should. You're right.
Yeah, the little Axia Mortgage has and they're the perfect size too. They're like 5x7. See, they walk in and I don't even say anything to them. I just hand them their own clipboard. Hi.
Exactly.
And I start talking to them.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, we got 1 minute left. Anything else you want to add to this wonderful conversation this morning, Scott?
I would just say get into action. Like, you're not going to feel a sense of mastery. If you're growing, you're going to always be feeling a little bit insecure and a little unsure of what you're doing, and you'll only learn by doing. Don't try to master it up front. Don't use that as a reason to hesitate. And also, there's just a constant flow of customers. So make some mistakes. Don't worry about it. There'll always be somebody else. And if you're human about it and honest, you know, people will actually like you, I think, for just the fact that you're trying. And if they don't, move on, next, you know. So, and conversion ratios are about a larger percentage of no's than yeses. So without the no's, you're not getting to the yeses. So don't let that phase you also, that you're failures.
Absolutely. Awesome stuff, my man. Well, thank you very much. You're the best. Keep rocking it in Palm Springs. Hopefully you guys have learned something today. I know I did. So let's keep it rocking. We'll do this again in exactly 30 days. Scott, once again, thank you very much for your time, and go keep killing it, my man. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, buddy. Bye. Appreciate it. Thank you.